Blog Talk Radio.
If I knew then what I know now, no, I wouldn't change much of anything anyhow. It was 50-50, and I won the coin toss when you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz. When you danced with me at the Huntington's Waltz.
Thank you for tuning in to Help for HD Live. Help for HD Live is brought to you by Help for HD International and is made possible by Teva Pharmaceuticals and the Griffin Foundation. Today we have two fabulous ladies here to talk about Huntington's Disease Group, Huntington Study Group, also known as HSG. Heather Hare is the Director of Communications and Outreach at HSG and is logistically HSG's liaison with the HD community. Though Heather has only worked in her position since May of 2015, most of you who are listening have either talked to her on social media, via email, or met her in person at HSG's annual meeting. She has become known and trusted in our community. We also have Ann Nelson on the show today. Ann is a dedicated wife, mother, and HD community member living in South Carolina. Both Ann and her husband, David, previously worked in the medical field. Ann is a nurse in the neuro department, and Dave is a neuroradiologist. Ann serves on both HSG's HD Community Focus Group and graciously agreed to her and David to be a part of the I Am the Difference campaign for HSG. We are excited to have you both on today's show. Welcome, Heather and Ann.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi. Let's go ahead and get started here. Heather, can you please give us a good description of what HSG is, as well as a bit of a background, please?
Sure. So HSG has been around since 1993. We were formed as the world's first HD cooperative therapeutic research organization. We're essentially a network of academic sites where investigators and coordinators, doctors and nurses, the social workers at those sites help us to run clinical trials to try to find new treatments for Huntington's disease. So the wonderful thing about our network is that the clinicians that you see at your academic research site are our investigators and coordinators. These are researchers who truly care about their patients and truly care about their outcomes and are motivated to find the treatments that are really going to make a difference for our families. They're a wonderful group of people, and I love working with them. It's an absolute pleasure. In addition to those 450 investigators and coordinators who are members of our organization, we've also, in the past couple of years, worked very diligently to try to embrace the families and advocates in the HD community in better ways. So right now we have about 150 associate members as well. And that's something, anybody can join HSG now. So if you're interested in being a little more plugged in about what we're doing in terms of research, and we'll talk a little bit about what we're going to be doing in terms of care as well later on, please go on our website, click the Join HSG button, and join up, and we'll get you in the loop. So that's who HSG is. Everybody
that sounds great. Yes, and you know, we at Help for HD have all attended the annual gathering and have been quite impressed with a lot of your speakers and just the team that you guys have there. So it's been extremely beneficial and pleasant for us to attend. So
yeah.
And can you please tell us a little bit about yourself and about your husband Dave?
Okay. I'm a little bit different than a lot of people in their HD walk in that I totally knew what I was getting into when I married Dave, but thinking it was a 50-50 chance, I thought we were going to get the positive side of the coin. But we got married and had 13 really good years. We did everything. Like I told Heather, we kind of tried to plan as if we were going to get Huntington's, but live as if we didn't. And so we got to travel a lot, and we did tried to pack a lifetime into 10 to 12 years, and we adopted two daughters from China. And then in about 2006, they started showing symptoms and just, you know, the typical, irritability and not getting along with people at work. And for a long time, I thought that they were kind of being mean to him or something. And, you know, but in hindsight, yeah, I see that it was me just not wanting to, see the symptoms and believe that he actually came down with it. He never wanted to get tested. And actually, they have four children in their family, and all four of them got Huntington's. And he has three younger sisters, and two of them have died already. And so he's the oldest, and then his youngest sister also has Huntington's. So she lives with her mom in Chicago, and we're down here. But I have a good support group with my church in that. And so, and the way I got involved, you know, with the Huntington's study group and the focus group was that I was telling you guys earlier that I had taken Dave to try to get in to see Dr. Edmondson because I heard great things about her and I needed her help. And so I enrolled Dave in the Enroll HD, and we went up to Duke, and then we got to see her for free. And she was awesome, as everybody knows. And I just told her our story of we had an encounter with law enforcement people in an airport when Dave kind of just got really anxious, and he tried to run out an emergency exit at the JFK airport there, and, you know, he got arrested, and one thing led to another, and it was not a good scene. So I needed a physician to write a letter to, you know, for our lawyer, et cetera, et cetera, and it all got worked out, but it took over a year to get the charges that they were accusing him of, because then when they tried to stop him from running out, as we all know, they don't like confrontation like that. And he was already, you know, in kind of a anxious state, and he kind of fought back, and that didn't go over so well with the, you know, security guards at JFK airport. So anyway, that's how, and so then Dr. Edmondson gave my name to Heather or whoever, and somebody contacted me, and that's how I got involved with HSG, but I'm so glad I did, so.
We're very glad, too. You bring a lot to the table, Anne.
And speaking of your involvement with, go ahead, Heather.
I was going to say about a year and a half ago, as one of my goals for HSG was to assemble a group of family members that I could talk to on a regular basis about some of the projects we were working on and get input from them, just, you know, ongoing. It's informal. We call it a focus group, so it sounds like it's formal, but really it's not. And Katrina's in it as well. and I'm grateful for the input that you both bring to the table, because, I mean, even between the two of you, you have very different experiences, and I'm just so grateful to be able to bring our ideas to you guys and get input before we get too far into planning and realize that we're going down the wrong road. So I really appreciate that.
Yeah. And, you know, yeah, Katrina, if I could also just, I did want to add this part was that, you know, Dave was a neuroradiologist for 20 years, and I was in neurosurgery. I was in neurology. I did stroke research. I did research with ALS. And so, you know, definitely like being a research coordinator was my background. And, I mean, I had done research projects, and I hadn't actually encountered that many people with Huntington's disease because Dave's father died while we were dating early on, and I never did meet him. But I was telling Heather that there was something that, like, once Dave was diagnosed, you know, it was extremely difficult for us to have anything to do with the research or whatever. You know, when you're on one side of the situation for years and years, and then all of a sudden you're thrust into the patient position, I don't know if it was our pride or what, but I just stayed away from it for, you know, probably 8 years. I didn't have anything to do with it. And, you know, I think I felt shame for that. Like, I felt so guilty. Like, what is my problem? Why can't I contribute here? You know, but I don't know. I couldn't, we couldn't face it from that, from the patient side for many years. And when Heather or whoever called me, I think it was you, Heather, you know, asked me to be involved in this, it was just, it was a lighter side of it. Like, I had brought Dave down to the enroll study and we did that, but it was almost like by the time we jumped in, it was exhausting for him. And he didn't even want to do the next phase of it. And, but when this study group came along and I could kind of go at my own pace, and, you know, Heather's been wonderful in, like, you can share as much as you want or you don't have to. And just that freedom to say, okay, it's getting a little personal here. Like, I can't quite go there yet. That has been liberating. Like, I've almost come more out of my shell just with that, the ability to know that it's, you know, it's extremely sensitive. Like, I'm very sensitive about that. And I think that's why I put more pressure on medical professionals than I do, like, just the average person for not knowing about Huntington's. You know, I let them off the hook, like, well, they don't know about Huntington's. But when people in the medical profession don't treat us with sensitivity, I don't know, it just really, it hits hard, you know. And so I've been very grateful about this, the study group, and, you know, just how they've laid it out about getting involved. It doesn't have to be, you know, you bear your whole life. It's, they're very sensitive, and I think that's needed with people with Huntington's, and so I'm very grateful for that. Yeah, so.
Thank you.
No, I couldn't agree with
that's
you
sort of the
more. I could not agree more.
Yeah.
Go ahead,
and that's
Heather.
Sort of the idea behind this, new,
that's kind of the idea behind this I Am the Difference campaign. I've been feeling like as I'm getting to know the HD community better, and I already know a lot of the HSG members, I feel like there's a synergy there that was sort of not brought to light, that our families were already doing so much, and they need to understand that. They need to feel empowered by what they're already doing. The I Am the Difference campaign, and ultimately I'd like people to sign up to get research updates, but not necessarily to participate in research, but maybe tell their friends about research or tell their friends about HSG. But really what I want our families to do is to feel like they're a part of this effort to seek new treatments at whatever level fits for them, whatever path works for them. So if you go on the website and you look at Living with HD, there's a menu on the left. If you go down and click on I Am the Difference, in there you'll see a whole bunch of beautiful faces, including Katrina's and Anne's, and stories of the different ways that families are making a difference in ways that fit them. And that's really what I wanted the campaign to do, is to show what it is you can do in your own way. And eventually we'll add stories as well from our physicians and our coordinators, our social workers, our nurses, our genetic counselors, because they're all doing things too in their own way to make a difference. So that's, mm-hmm. that's sort of the idea behind it all. And it's good to hear, Anne, that's how it made you feel. I feel like that makes it a success.
Right, right.
So, you know, with my experience in the I Am the Difference campaign, it was, as Anne said, very, very liberating in ways, because HSU was very considerate of how they received information and stories and how they
portrayed our stories. Mm-hmm. You know, I was able to kind of tweak a sentence that I had said that I didn't like the way it was worded, and it was very easy, and it came through just as I had hoped. And I think the interesting thing about the I Am the Difference campaign is that it's, for one, very different types of stories from different points of view throughout people's journeys. And, you know, it's caregiver, or it's somebody who currently has Huntington's, or it's somebody who has lost somebody with Huntington's or juvenile Huntington's. And so I like the variety of stories. I like that it gives people power. You know, it gives people power to say, you know, this is what happened to me. You know, get involved in any way, shape, or form that you'd like. You know, that's the way I took it in as a participant. Yeah.
Yeah.
Say that again.
Oh, that's what we asked for, that the message would be that, you know, here's a, that one family figured out to a way to handle this situation. You know, take from it what helps you and do what you can, but no pressure.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So thank you for your part in that as well, Anne, because I see you and Dave up there as I scroll through and look at our news feed on Facebook or where have you. And I love the picture of you and your husband. And actually on our show page for this blog talk, I have a link to I Am the Difference that will take you straight through to HSG's website and then right to the actual stories. And what I didn't know before, Heather, actually Katie was the one who noticed this, but if you're looking at where it says, you know, I Am the Difference and the difference is green in color, if you click on that, that links you to that person's story, which I didn't realize at first. And so that's probably something important to know if you guys are out there looking on the website, and you can see the very short clip of video, but if you click on each I Am the .. There's do you know the different ones, Heather, by off the top of your head?
Yep. I have it up. I Am Strong. And the I Am story is actually a poem by Corey Sargent's dad that Stacy gave us. I Am Different, a story about Rusty and Teresa and their daughter Lacey. I Am Hopeful, Katie Jackson and her story about her and her husband, Mike. I Am Committed is a story about Dr. Chris O'Brien, and his story is really powerful as well. I Am Ready is Anne and David. I Am Powerful is Lauren Holder, which I think everybody knows Lauren, right?
Yeah.
And I Am the Difference.
Hi, Lauren.
Is Katrina here. And I Am the Difference is Katrina. So, and then at the bottom of the page, there's a link as well to all of the stories. So you can click there and see all of them together. I think it's going really well. Social media, we've got a lot of great interaction, and people are sharing it. And I hope it spreads. And we're also accepting people's story submissions if they would like to send them in. There'll be a link on social media, and I think later this week, and it went out in an email if people have signed up for our research update that went out already. But we'll be promoting that a little more moving forward. It's a lot of work to get consents and get the stories just perfect, so we haven't pushed that quite as much. We started this project in November, and it took a while. So I hope people have some patience to wait for some more, because it has been a really powerful experience for all of us.
Yeah,
I agree. So moving on from that, which is fantastic, and again, if you guys want to hear a little bit more about what's going on, go to HSC's website or click on the link that's on the show page. But what can we as a community expect at HSG 2017 in Denver?
Oh, yes. So HSG 2017 we've chosen our theme as Elevating HD, since we'll be a mile high out there. And it'll run from November 2nd to November 4th. And the 2nd and 3rd is very much focused on our researchers and coordinators. The 4th, which is a Saturday, is HD Family Day. And we're doing things a little differently this year in terms of our planning committee. So we've pulled a lot of different people together, families impacted, and local people in Denver from different groups, including the Rocky Mountain chapter of HDSA. We've got Help for HD on our planning committee as well. We're working to make sure that content that we deliver to our families that day is exactly what they were hoping to get from having, 400 of our, the world's experts in HD in their town for those few days. What do they want from us? So some of the topics that we know we're going to end up covering are our keynote speaker is going to be Jean Burton, who, if you Google her, she has her own website. She's going to talk about resilience and how we can use that to both as a person impacted by HD or as a caregiver to help us power through. This is not a short disease, and there are a lot of changes along the way and a lot of points at which we need to use resilience probably every day. So she's going to be a really wonderful speaker. And we're going to have a couple of different other smaller talks about genetics and genetic testing and how you decide whether to do it. We're also going to have a session on OT and or PT with some demonstrations of some tools that may help people just live a little bit easier, sort of a tips and tools to make life easier. And we are most likely going to have a large session also on medical marijuana, it being Colorado. it being such a hot topic right now anyway, we want to get down to the nitty-gritty of what works, what doesn't work, and just really talk it through. So that should be great. And in addition to that, we'll have a panel of HD experts that we can ask questions of, and we'll make that accessible in any way that people feel most comfortable. So you can walk up to a mic and say, hey, Martha Nance, I don't know if she's going to be on the panel, but, tell me about this weird genetics issue, and then she'll answer you. Or if you want to slip us a card and we can have somebody ask the question for you, or you want to tweet us the question, we can have that read to the person. However it works best, we're going to make that accessible to as many people as possible. Did I just talk for too long?
No, not at all. Not at all. No, that sounds exciting, and I'm sure it'll be even bigger than it was last year, which is kind of unbelievable. I mean, the amount of people that all come together in one area for HD, it's a pretty exciting thing for me as a family member, for sure.
Katrina, I was just going to say, that I agree with what you just said, and I was going to say, that was the first time I had been to Huntington, the study group meeting, and, just, again, going to meetings, being on the other side, and, not really thinking about people's focus in their careers or whatever, but I was so, encouraged when I went this past year to see just, people who really don't even have it in their families, they're making it their focus in their professional life, and they care about Huntington's. And it's like, I don't know, I just got such a feeling of being acknowledged and validated in our, journey with this. And even that in itself was, it was encouraging to me. So, I'm excited
more
about this next one. Yeah.
Very good.
So we're
very
excited to get through all that planning.
Yeah. All the behind-the-scenes work that we get to do.
Yeah, and I'm grateful for all the input.
Absolutely. We'll keep it coming. So kind of switching gears a little bit, well, a lot, I've been told that there's a survey available to the community that's being referred to as HD. This is a project that the Griffin Foundation is putting forth, from my understanding. Can you maybe elaborate a little bit, Heather, for the community, so they can kind of hear what this is about?
Yeah, that'd be great. So HDCIP stands for Huntington's Disease Care Improvement Project, and it's being funded by Jackson the Griffin Foundation. And this is an issue that I'm sure you've heard LaVon Goodman talk about forever. Everybody talks about the fact that there's some percentage, 75 to 85% of people who have Huntington's disease are not getting care at academic medical centers. So they're getting care in their community or they're not getting care. We don't really know. So the first phase of this project is trying to find those people and find out where are they getting care, why are they not going to an academic medical center, and what would it take to get them the care that they need. What we need the community to do, and the survey should be out in the next few days, up to a week, I think actually by the end of this week we should have it, is to go and take this survey, answer these questions. It's not a long survey. I've seen the drafts of it, and one for caregivers, and there's one for patients, and it will not be a big lift. But we really need this information so that we can dig down in and figure out what's happening and how we can improve it. So those are the next phases of this project. How do we improve care? And then Jack is so brilliant to think of these things. where does the money come from to improve care? That's also on the list of things. So we're working with PwC. HSG is helping with the project. It makes sense, and Jack brought it to us because all of the providers at these academic medical centers are our members, so it makes sense for us to be involved, and that's why we are. But it's been a collaborative project from the beginning. We've involved everyone we possibly could, which is you guys know about all of the little pieces of this already. That's where that survey is, and it's coming very soon. If you sign up for our Make a Difference campaign, you'll be on the website. If you click on I Am the Difference, it'll send you to sign up for our updates. Or if you sign up for contact me about future research, that's also on the website. It's the same thing. And we will email you a link to this survey.
Katrina, I could.
This is a little different than the other survey, that the Health Index survey. I was just going to bring that one up because you did the first phase of that one, right? Yeah.
Well, I did the one that was like one was for caregiver and then one was for the patient. And, so maybe that was different because it sounds exactly like the one you're talking about. But maybe, okay. So that one hasn't come out yet.
This one hasn't come out yet. It will in a few days. But the one that is out now is the second phase of the one you did, the HDHI. So New Jersey Cure gave us some money that they had raised for research to put into a research project. And we poked around until we found the right one that happened to be at the University of Rochester. We brought it to them, and they approved it. And what we're doing is we're creating a quality of life measure, essentially. It's called a health index for Huntington's disease. So it could be more accurate. It could more accurately reflect what actually impacts people's health. Because I know historically we've looked a lot at movement, but that's not always the thing that impacts families the most. It doesn't. It's not the movement, really. It's the other issues that can bring into a family that really impact it. So the health index is going to help us to do a better job of measuring those impacts in research. So Anne took it was a bigger lift, right, Anne, the survey you did already. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So this is just an online form, and it's available on our social media, on Twitter, HuntingtonSG, or on Facebook, facebook.com/HuntingtonSG. We've already posted the link out there, and we'll be emailing that out as well after we get the HDCIP survey out there. And this health index survey, if you're chosen as a participant, there's a $30 payment for participants. So if we can get people to do that as well, that'd be wonderful. I know it's a lot. There's a lot of surveys. There's a lot of them going out. But we really believe that these are two that should be done. And when we get it all figured out, it's going to be wonderful. It'll be a really good tool for us moving forward.
I agree. And you know, Katie, I believe, had shared out the survey where you get the $30 reimbursement. Basically reimbursement for time.
And
she took it, and she mentioned that it was really easy and easy to, like, navigate through and kind of a quick process for her. She answered it about, of course, Mike, her husband. And so just community going forward, just know that if you do choose to do that one, you do get reimbursed for your time for $30, and it's quick and easy. And then what I wanted to add about the HDCIP survey is this is where your voices can be heard if there are things that you love about the care you receive, or if there's things that you really dislike about the care that you've received. This is where your voice can be heard. I know that you can add comments. You can turn the survey in however you would like. So you can write a whole note on it if you'd like. Just make sure that if you would like to see change in your area, that you do take the opportunity to write down what you think is both good and bad.
Yeah, I mean, we want you know, honesty on this. We don't want anybody sugarcoating anything.
That everyone can just, and that doesn't mean that, like, you're going to have a lot of negative comments come through. I think that, what I think is that you'll see a lot of positivity come through, and hopefully that can just be spread around to the places that haven't tried things in those ways, you know, or tried that type of care or what have you. And hopefully that will be a huge change in different things, in different ways. So I'm glad that those surveys are going out, and we can also help with, posting and getting them out as well.
That's all.
So, yeah. Okay, so did you want to talk a little bit, Heather, about Signal and Legato before we start wrapping the show up?
Sure. Just real quick, that we need HSC have two trials currently. They're both on our website. If you go to find it on the website, they're current trials right now. It's Legato, which is investigating a compound called liquinamide. They're looking at whether it impacts movement, memory, and mood. That's for people 21 to 55, and all of our sites where they're enrolling from are on the website. And then Signal is investigating VX-15, which is a monoclonal antibody. We are enrolling into Cohort B currently. There's a list of the sites on the website as well. Make sure you call them and ask them if they're enrolling into Cohort B. And that one is looking at inflammation in the brain and how this compound may impact that inflammation, hopefully lessen it, and then whether that ends up lessening the effects of the cascade of effects from the inflammation, so potentially slowing some of the symptoms down. But we don't know if it works yet, so we need people to participate. All the information's on our website. So go right there and look at them. And while you're there, sign up for our research updates so that you can get the next trial that we have going on if this isn't the one for you.
That's great. Yeah, I think getting connected to HSG will will definitely get you involved in their trials and their updates. And so just click onto their website, because that's where you will find all of that information on how to get connected for sure. Is there anything either Heather or Ann that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
Just a thank you. Thank you for the opportunity to be on and connect to this incredible community. I'm inspired by it every day. I feel honored to be able to work with you all. So I'm very happy.
It's a definite mutual. Yeah, that's mutual all around. So thank you both for coming on. And I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about some headline news. And I will talk to you both soon. So thanks for coming on.
Thank you, Katrina. Absolutely.
In social media as well as online, there's been a story, a very uplifting story, which is sometimes rare in our community. But for the past 11 years, a man named Joe Thomas has worked at IHOP in Springfield, Illinois. And he's always known his regulars, including a gentleman and his wife, and the wife has Huntington's disease. You know, over the years, they come in once a week, every week, and, you know, eventually Joe takes a bigger part other than just being their server at the restaurant, and he started to help assist feeding the wife so that the husband could also enjoy his meal at the same time. And one day they came into IHOP, and Joe ended up saving her from choking. And it's just a very motivational story, how he speaks about how, you know, he treats people how he wants to be treated, and he just seems like an overall very kind gentleman. But if you want to read that story, I will post a link on the show page so you guys can read that in depth. But it's just, you know, I enjoy the lightness of it, and I enjoy just how warm and uplifting it is. So that's the headline news that I'd like to share with you guys. And then a little reminder, we do have Help for HD's Education Day in Kirkland, Washington at the Evergreen Hospital on April 22nd. So if you guys would like to attend or would like more information, you can email Katie Jackson or myself. Katie's email is katie@help4hd.org, and mine is katrina@help4hd.org. Thank you all for joining in and listening to today's show, and we will talk to you next time. Thank you guys so much.